From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, brought to you by Walker Tire and Auto. So much going on in the news this week, but at Capitol Connection, we're all about bringing the Capitol to you, focusing on both local and national politics, especially the issues that you care about most, family, freedom, and life. A lot to talk about, so today I'm going to be covering the biggest news in Omaha. Former Congressman Brad Ashford announcing he will be challenging current Omaha Congressman Don Bacon to be your representative in Congress, as well as why the special election in Georgia for a House seat showed that Planned Parenthood shouldn't receive any federal funding without mentioning abortion. And of course, the College World Series is concluding in Omaha this week. It's such a fantastic event for our city. But there's also a lesser-known and darker side, a spike in sex trafficking that occurs. I'll give my thoughts on that issue. Plus, we're talking about free speech and if there's any room left for it on college campuses. So the big news politically right now, other than multiple office holders of the Nebraska Democratic Party making completely senseless and disgusting comments about the shooting of Rep. Steve Scalise and other Republicans on the baseball field, is that former Democrat Congressman Brad Ashford is challenging current Congressman Republican Don Bacon for Nebraska's 2nd district seat in Congress. Don Bacon won by just over 1% last time around, and there's been some debate, apparently, in the Ashford household as to who would run, if it would be Brad or actually his wife, Ann, who also considered running, but apparently they've decided that they're going to have Brad Ashford take a second crack at it. It was a very competitive race last time, but the people spoke and fired Brad Ashford as their congressman and hired Don Bacon. So maybe if we're lucky, the Democrat Party will bring back in Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi can come this time too to campaign. But if the elections since the fall general election are any indication at all, it's going to be a tough climb for Brad Ashford to try and unseat Don Bacon. The most recent, of course, which was all over the news last week, was the special election for Georgia's 6th district, which featured Republican Karen Handel and Democrat John Ossoff. And this was the most expensive race in U.S. House history, most of which went to the Democrat candidate, and most of that money came from outside of Georgia. And apparently, this Democrat, John Ossoff, who ran unsuccessfully, didn't even live in the district he was running for. So it's clear that the voters in Georgia were not fooled, and they spoke overwhelmingly. The Republican Karen Handel won by, I think, just over 4%. But what was especially interesting about this race, other than the fact that all of the mainstream media pundits tried to make this another referendum on the president, which they turned out to be wrong again, was that Planned Parenthood was the second largest contributor to the Democrat candidate's campaign, only behind the Democrat National Committee. And the amount that they gave is staggering. Planned Parenthood gave almost $1 million to one Democrat candidate running for a House seat in Georgia. Planned Parenthood contributed $735,000 to this campaign. So tell me again why Planned Parenthood needs hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money. Here's an idea. Maybe if they kept that money, they could actually start offering mammograms and start doing prenatal care. But they don't. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars every election cycle trying to elect Democrat politicians. Why should any nonprofit who spends that kind of money, nearly $1 million on a single House race, be given any taxpayer money? That's without even beginning the conversation on the fact that they're the number one abortion provider in the country. And just think, if you're a Republican, again, put abortion politics aside, even though it's the single most important issue that we are facing today, the destruction of innocent Americans. But if you're a Republican politician, if you're a Republican candidate and you're running for office, or you're already in office, and you know, as everyone does, that Planned Parenthood is spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to your opponents, the Democrats, why in the world would anyone expect you to keep voting to give Planned Parenthood more taxpayer money? It's absurd. They'll come out and they'll say that you're attacking women and women's health care and you don't care about people. But no, they're just tired of you donating huge amounts of money to their political opponents. And chances are they also probably care very deeply about protecting innocent human life, which is why it's a great thing that the new health care bill that finally emerged from the U.S. Senate this past week contains multiple pro-life provisions. There's a number of really solid pro-life provisions in the Senate health care bill. The new health care bill would, first, it would prevent anyone from using federal tax credits to buy plans that cover abortion. And second, it also blocks the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, from receiving federal funds for 1 year. And I think that's a great sign and a very encouraging step. And I know that it looks like that the Senate health care bill certainly has a long way to go. A lot of debate and a number of Republicans saying that they're not prepared to vote for it until they can get lower premiums and repeal bigger parts of Obamacare. And so I'm sure we'll be talking about this in the days to come. But right now, I want to talk about and thank sponsor of the show, Walker Tire and Auto Service. Walker Tire and Auto has been serving Omaha customers for over 6 decades. Whatever your vehicle needs, Walker Tire in Omaha is here to help take care of you at any one of their 4 convenient Omaha locations. Visit Walker Tire and Auto and get the Walker Tire Advantage, where you get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. You can also get free video vehicle health inspections, free with each visit. Hear from their expert technicians and see for yourself how your vehicle is doing right from your email or phone. For all your vehicle and service maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire in Omaha at 144th and Harrison, 84th and Dodge, 89th and L, and 140th and Center. Walker Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you. So we're just entering the finale, the final series of this year's College World Series, and it's such a fantastic time every year in Omaha. Teams and fans travel from all over the country to come to Omaha, and our city has a lot to offer. And Omaha becomes a hub for tourism, spectatorship, baseball, and lots of fun. But unfortunately, it also becomes a hub for human trafficking. With hundreds of thousands of people traveling, coming to Omaha to attend the College World Series, the FBI has said that it's a big opportunity for crime, especially as it relates to human trafficking. And this is not a fun topic, but it's so important to stress this issue, especially during the College World Series, because the reality is that this is happening. When you have a big event and you bring large groups of people, particularly men who are traveling and they have money to spend, disposable income, you'll see a spike in trafficking. And that's something that we know happens in Omaha every year during the College World Series. And so that's why I was really pleased to see that this year there were organizations working on a big campaign during the College World Series. You might have seen some of the signs and cutouts, billboards with information on human trafficking. I think they were even in hotels creating awareness about this issue. And I have the tremendous privilege of working for the Nebraska Family Alliance. And Nebraska Family Alliance has been working on combating human trafficking in our state for over 10 years. And so having worked on this issue, the two things that I always tell people is first is that this issue is here, not just in the United States, but in Nebraska, from Omaha all the way out into the Panhandle. It is in our cities and our communities. And in fact, the U.S. government has actually identified human trafficking as being the fastest growing criminal industry globally and second largest overall, behind only the drug trade. But this isn't just a third world problem or isolated in Chicago or L.A. No, this is happening in Nebraska. In February of this year, police arrested two Omaha adults for human trafficking. In March of this year, a Bellevue West football player was charged with human trafficking. And in May of this year, a Douglas County jury found an Omaha man guilty of two counts of sexual assault and two counts of sex trafficking for forcing two young women into prostitution. And those are just a few of the incidents this year alone. And one thing that we know for sure about this problem is that it's happening even more than we know. The governor's task force on human trafficking actually conducted an in-depth study on this problem specific to Nebraska, and this report concluded that at least 47 Nebraska schoolgirls are known to be victims of sex trafficking every year. The report also concluded, however, that this known number is a substantial underestimate. The actual number of Nebraska schoolgirls trafficked is likely to be several times higher, and the total number of trafficking victims certainly even much higher than that. People are being sold in a systemic and systematic way, and it's happening right here during the College World Series. Now, basically, there are two main reasons why the market for human trafficking is expanding. And first is low criminal risk. Traffickers perceive little risk to their criminal operations, largely because of the lack of strong penalties, low chance of arrest, limited training of government agencies, and lack of public awareness. Second is because of high profits. Humans can be sold multiple times a day, 7 days a week for years. And like any business, legal or illegal, the demand drives the supply. Human traffickers victimize vulnerable people out of their sinful desires, out of their desires to profit from demand. The number of vulnerable humans around the world, in the United States and here in Nebraska, also makes it easy for traffickers to keep a constant supply of victims for both labor and sex trafficking. However, the other main point about this issue that I always tell people is that there is great progress being made here in our state. In 2006, that was actually when we passed the first law against human trafficking in Nebraska. But since then, I am pleased to say that we have become a much more aggressive, less friendly state for traffickers through better awareness, education, and increased penalties. I talked about low penalties and low criminal risk being one of the reasons why this type of illegal activity is able to persist. But we put an end to that this year. The state legislature passed what was one of the most significant victories of date in our state in combating human trafficking. The legislature passed and Governor Ricketts signed into law LB 289, which significantly and very much appropriately increases penalties relating to human trafficking for both the trafficker and the buyer. Now, before this law, most penalties for human trafficking did not even carry a minimum penalty, but now we will begin implementing the toughest sentences possible. This was an absolutely essential step towards both motivating and empowering law enforcement and prosecutors, as well as deterring traffickers from even attempting to operate in our state. There's also statewide training for law enforcement happening every month in different regions of the state. Trafficking is simply just the most egregious, inhumane crime against another human being. Human trafficking is simply the most terrible, egregious crime against another human being. And so it's important that everyone is doing their part to put an end to this. We have got to get after this issue and get in front of it. And so the first step is just for everyone to get informed and know the signs. Does the person appear in poor physical or mental health? Do they not have control of their finances or cell phone or personal identification? Do they seem like they're being controlled by another individual? Do they avoid making eye contact, or do they have unusual tattoos or markings? Those are some of the things to be on the lookout for. And then second is just to educate others, especially high school students and young people, on what human trafficking is and how to spot the signs and avoid becoming a victim. And so you can get all the information that you need on this issue over at the Nebraska Family Alliance website at nebraskafamilyalliance.org. Over on the policy pages, there's a landing page dedicated to the issue of human trafficking, and I would encourage everyone to check it out and keep talking about this issue even while we're having a great time with the College World Series here. Let's be a voice for those who don't have one and put an end to trafficking in Nebraska. So that's what I thought was important to talk about that was happening locally this week. But in Washington, D.C., we got a major ruling from the Supreme Court that, with everything else going on in the news, didn't quite get as much attention as I thought it might have. It was a case that was decided unanimously, 8-0, reaffirming free speech and also dealing a crushing blow to political correctness. This was the case Maddow versus Tam, and the Supreme Court voted unanimously to uphold a lower court ruling that said the federal government violated the First Amendment when it denied a trademark for the name of a rock group known as the Slants, because it is a name that disparages a group of people. So basically, the Supreme Court affirmed what we know is true, is that the government can't censor speech just because someone might find it offensive. But it's also important to point out here that the name of this rock group, the Slants, every member of the band is Asian American. And now they said that they chose this name because they, quote, believe that by taking back that slur as the name of their group, they will help to reclaim the term and drain its denigrating force. And I think this was very timely and a much-needed victory in the name of free speech with the battle over speech across the country and particularly on college campuses. Basically, what we've seen heightened over the last year is that free speech simply is not welcome on the average college campus. If you don't like someone's idea, you can just shut them down. Instead of being a place where students are challenged and confront different thoughts and ideas and are allowed to have debates and civil discussions and work through the issues, you instead just simply shut down the person or group that you don't like. And it's really just become basically an all-out assault on free speech on college campuses. And it was interesting that also, just actually this past week, this same issue made it all the way to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee, where they held a hearing dedicated solely to the issue of free speech on college campuses. And thankfully, Senator Ted Cruz sits on that committee and gave one of the best, most passionate defenses and explanation of the First Amendment during this hearing. And it's something that everyone should hear, especially college students. Every high school student should hear what Ted Cruz had to say. He's just got an incredible legal mind and perhaps the best understanding, one of the best understandings of the U.S. Constitution out of anyone. And he really laid down the law and what the First Amendment is and is not about for the rest of the Judiciary Committee and public to hear. So I'm going to play his remarks. Take a listen to Senator Cruz's opening statement last week at a judiciary hearing on the First Amendment.
Free speech matters. Diversity matters. Diversity of people's backgrounds, but also diversity of thought, diversity of ideas. Universities are meant to be a challenging environment for young people to encounter ideas they've never seen, they've never imagined, and that they might passionately disagree with. If universities become homogenizing institutions that are focused on inculcating and indoctrinating rather than challenging, we will lose what makes universities great. The First Amendment is not about opinions you agree with. It's not about opinions that are right and reasonable. The First Amendment is about opinions that you passionately disagree with and the right of others to express them. It's true. tragic what is happening at so many American universities, where college administrators and faculties have become complicit in functioning essentially as speech police, deciding what speech is permissible and what speech isn't. You see violent protests that the senior senator from California referred to, enacting effectively a heckler's veto, where violent thugs come in and say, this particular speaker, I disagree with what he or she has to say, and therefore I will threaten physical violence if the speech is allowed to happen. And far too many colleges and universities quietly roll over and say, okay, the threat of violence, we will effectively reward the violent criminals and muzzle the First Amendment. And I saw a recent study from the Knight Foundation that said that a majority of college students believe the climate on their campus has prevented people from saying what they believe out of fear of giving offense. What an indictment of our university system. And what does it say about what you think about your own ideas? If ideas are strong, if ideas are right, you don't need to muzzle the opposition. You should welcome the opposition. When you see college faculties and administrators being complicit or active players in silencing those with opposing views, what they are saying is they are afraid. They are afraid that their ideas cannot stand the dialectic, cannot stand opposition, cannot stand facts or reasoning or anything on the other side. And it is only through force and power that their ideas can be accepted. I'm one who agrees with John Stuart Mill. The best solution for bad ideas, for bad speech, is more speech and better ideas. Are there people with noxious ideas in the world? Absolutely. The Nazis are grotesque and repulsive and evil. And under our Constitution, they have a right to speak, and the rest of us have a moral obligation to denounce what they say. The Ku Klux Klan are a bunch of racist, bigoted thugs who have a right to express their views. And we have an obligation then to confront those views, which are weak, poisonous, and wrong, and confront them with truth. We don't need to use brute force to silence them, because truth is far more powerful than force. So this is an important hearing. I thank the witnesses for being here. I thank the chairman for hosting it.
Truth is more passionate than force. That was Senator Ted Cruz last week with his impassioned defense and explanation of the First Amendment in front of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. And he was absolutely spot on. We should confront bad ideas with better ideas, not muzzle free speech or just shut down ideas we don't like. Case in point, the crazy story for the week, there is a new state travel ban in the United States, citing the recently passed law in Texas that simply protects and preserves the already existing right of faith-based foster care and adoption agencies to place children in homes that have both a mom and a dad. California, the state of California, has banned state travel to Texas. We've heard all about travel bans this year, but how about a state in the United States banning travel to Texas? California state agencies, universities, and commissions won't be allowed to send their employees to Texas after their California Attorney General declared a Texas law discriminatory. This is completely ridiculous, so I'll just leave it at this. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's spokesman simply said, California may be able to stop their state employees, but they can't stop all the businesses that are fleeing over taxation and regulation and relocating in Texas. These issues aren't going away, but neither are we. I'll be back next week. Thank you again to sponsor of the show, Walker Tire and Auto Service. The next time your vehicle needs new tires, be sure to take it to Walker Tire in Omaha, where you can get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. So whatever your vehicle needs, visit Walker Tire in Omaha at any one of their four convenient locations. For more information on the issues, be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.